Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now to allow you to be a part of this broadcast, to pose your question, or discuss your real-life issue. We invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. We all have issues in our lives and many times don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we're here. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive, and when we trust Him, He comes to live inside of us. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. That is quite amazing to realize this truth, that the God of this universe has come to live inside of you.
Absolutely.
Individually. And me individually. I mean, that's just amazing. That was mind-boggling to me when I first learned that truth, to realize that Jesus was alive in me. I had tried to live the Christian life through my energy, through my effort, and just failed miserably. But I didn't realize I had God Himself living inside of me, that I had His power that I could tap into and to lean into and abide in and allow Him to do His work through me. But that's the truth. All believers have Christ living in them through the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's a truth that is true for every single believer. They are indwelt by the Spirit of God. But here in Ephesians chapter 5, there's a passage in verse 18 that says this: do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So there's the indwelling of the Spirit. That happens to every believer at the moment of salvation. And then there's this filling by the Spirit. Now, we think of that in terms of like filling a balloon, blowing it up or something. But the word filled simply means to be controlled by. And so what Paul is telling us to do is to be controlled by the Spirit of God in your relationships. That's what we're talking about this month. Be controlled by the Spirit of God in your relationships one with another. Well, what does that look like? Well, Paul goes on to say in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When we are filled with the Spirit, you're going to see this attitude of submission one to another, where we're not trying to one-up each other. We're not trying to make the other person feel small or inferior. We're just recognizing that we're all equal at the foot of the cross. We're in submission to one another. And that's going to help build relationships, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, yeah. And you know, the last word any human being wants to hear is submit.
Yeah.
Everything that we're taught, everything in our society, everything we read, everything we are apart from Christ is the opposite of submission. We must, there's this imperative to come out on top. And the Spirit comes into our lives and says, you really want a relationship with someone at any level, friendship, marriage, children, at any level, submit to one another. You'll see what that does.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Paul talked about that in Philippians and describing Jesus. He humbled himself, became one of us, became obedient even unto death. And in that conversation, he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think about others, to think about their needs. And that's what this attitude of submission is all about, is putting yourself in the other person's shoes, trying to figure out what's going on with them, and then acting out of that.
Yeah, how can you serve them?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So every believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God, but we all have that opportunity to be filled or controlled by the Spirit every single day of our lives. And that's an ongoing process. Well, let's talk about it more here on Basic Gospel today. One open line available, 1-800-677-9377. So let's get right to our phone calls. We'll start with Gil in Queens, New York. Hi, Gil.
Hi, happy Sheep Day, guys.
Well, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
And a big electronic hug to all of you and Bob Davis, too, because I've heard him for years.
Thanks, Gil. We appreciate that. And back to you.
Every time I want to do something wrong in the past, I hear Bob Davis' voice say, no, no, Gil, don't do that. No, no, Gil, don't argue with your mom.
Got to keep you on that straight and narrow, friend. Yeah.
Yes. Speaking of that, I want to ask about two verses. One of them is Hebrews 11:6. It says, let me see if I remember, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And another verse, I'm not sure what translation this is, but I was looking at it in a book on Alone, Alive, Fulfilled, and it says, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable companion to help him. It's a book that I received years ago for the blind, you know, on you know, being single and being content and all of that. Now, how does faith apply in living the Christian life to every practical area, since it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and in every type of relationship? Do you understand my question? And could Jesus be our companion? Because that's a nice idea of Jesus being my companion and my helper.
Well, Gail, I think that's exactly right. I think we all need to become content with that relationship, to realize that everything that we need spiritually we have in Christ. I mean, we look out there in the world, Gil, and we want somebody to love us. We want somebody to love, and we want that to be unconditional. Why? Because that's one of the needs of our hearts. We need to be loved unconditionally, but people can't do that. There's all kinds of strings attached to any and every relationship, human relationship. And sometimes a person loves you, and then the next day, circumstances change, and that love isn't there for you like it was the day before. So we have to realize that this need for unconditional love and unconditional acceptance is first and foremost met in Jesus Christ. We also have to realize that with him, we're never alone. I mean, we may be isolated from human contact or human companionship, but in Christ and with Christ in us, we are never alone. And when we get content with that, when we're really resting in that truth, Gil, that's when we have something to give to someone else. And that's when relationships are very, very powerful. So many, you know, I've been involved in counseling with, couples who want to get married. I've counseled with folks that are struggling in marriage. And a lot of times, you know, folks going into it, they're going into it saying, this person over here is going to make me happy. This person over here is going to love me unconditionally, is going to accept me unconditionally. And so they've set themselves up for disappointment. You know, the first 2 weeks are great as far as the honeymoon is concerned, and then they get back to real life, and, all the trials and tribulations start. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you're supposed to make me happy. Well, it just doesn't work that way. And why they're depending upon that other person is because they haven't found what they're looking for in Christ Jesus. And the same is true of couples that are struggling. Usually it gets down to the fact that person over there isn't doing what I thought they should be doing to make me happy as a person. So we need to find contentment in the Lord. And once we find contentment in the Lord, then we can trust him to live his life and share his life in and through us with others.
Great question. Now, follow-up question then on that. How do you explain, being that I'm blind and I have a disability, I think I told you guys a while back, you might remember when I called you on the second half of the program, that I met a woman who, of course, my mom, who doesn't know the Lord, did not accept, you know, because my mom loves me and she doesn't want to let me go. How do you explain, because she was so kind, and the woman that I dated for 2.5 years, she was willing to give up everything for me and even move to New York. She's not wasn't from New York originally, and she's one of the most kindest people that I met. You believe that really must have come through Christ, because she got saved in 1985, and so many people love her. You know, like somebody said to me in a church, it's too bad that your mom didn't really get to know her, because when she's in the room, if, you know, anything, she brings a smile into the whole room. I don't know what he means by that, because I can't see, but she was such a joyful person. I mean, is a joyful person, whatever. How do you explain that she was willing to live with a person who's blind, who was not currently working, you know, he tried to work, and then ringing in my ears and still willing to give up everything for me? And one of the reasons that's going to touch your heart, she wanted to move to New York because she wanted me to be closer to my mom, even though my mom said, you know, bad things about her. She still loved my mother. And when her church didn't understand the situation, she said, when I asked her, well, how could you love him? I mean, the mother so much after all the bad things she said to you. And she said, because she's his mother, I owe it to love her even more. And she always defended her, no matter what.
Well, Gail, I mean, you said she's in Christ, so I'm sure the love she had for you, he was the source of that.
Her name is Cheryl, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure he was the
source
of that.
Cheryl, I used to call her.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and love is sacrificial. I mean, you see that in Christ. He sacrificed his life. So genuine love, agape love, carries an aspect of sacrifice in it. So I think that's your answer there, Gil.
Yeah, because she drove 17 hours on the car to come and see me from Wisconsin to New York City with food and everything. She
was Gil, that is amazing that's
God
there, and you should be so appreciative of it. But
I do. I'll never forget.
Well, Gil, it's all.
Thanks for letting me share that.
Well, you are welcome, and thanks for your call, my friend.
Yeah,
always
thanks,
nice
Gil.
To hear from you. Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Dorothy, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Bob Christopher. It's good to talk to you.
Nice to talk with you.
Thank you. I wonder, would you explain to me how Jesus is God? I thought it was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And I was reading in the New Covenant book about Jesus being God. Would you explain that to me, please?
Well, Dorothy, God is one, but he's manifested in three persons. So there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus was born, he just was God that put on flesh and blood. He became like one of us. So Jesus was both fully God and he was fully man. And that was some of the most shocking things that he said when he was walking around Israel before he was crucified. He said things like, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And all the folks that were listening to him were just shocked by those words. And some of that response was seen in the Pharisees. You know, they started to plot to kill him. And when asked why, said, because he, a mere man, is claiming to be God. So Jesus claimed to be God. He was the Son of God. And so he was of the same nature as God the Father. He was divine in every single way. Sometimes that's hard for us to fully comprehend, but that's true. He is God, and that's what makes him unique.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You are so welcome, Dorothy. That's one of those just really powerful questions, because that's something that we really need to come to grips with, is the identity of Jesus. Because there's lots of people that would say he's just the Son of God. He's not God himself. But they fail to realize that phrase, the Son of God, that is a term of deity. That is a phrase that means that he is God in human flesh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your answer.
You're welcome, Dorothy. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go back to Louisville and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I'm so nervous I wrote this out.
Okay.
All right. And it's a tough one, so here we go. There was a man who abused a baby girl. He got several years in prison, no possibility of parole. They put her in the home of the innocents, and do you know somebody came in and sodomized her, and she died from this terrible act. Why did she have to suffer so much?
Well, Mary Jo, there is no answer to that. You know, there's no answer to the whys that are out there. I mean, that is a horrific story. And when you hear it, it just makes you mad. It makes you mad that there's evil in this world. It makes you mad that people would submit to that type of evil and to do such horrific things to innocent people. I mean, she was totally a victim in all of that. But in this world, that's what happens. I mean, that's that's a world that's filled with sin and death and evil. That's what entered in when Satan deceived Adam and Eve. That's what, you know, what happened to the world as a result of that. People give themselves over to evil things, and it's just horrendous. And every day you read that kind of stuff in the newspapers. I mean, how about this guy who, you know, felt rejected by females and decided to take his revenge and shoots up six people, kills them, just goes on a shooting spree out in California. It's like, how does that stuff happen? Well, people just get crazy, and evil just takes hold of them, and they do these things. Well, Jesus Christ is going to change all that. And this process starts with individuals. He saves individuals, rescues us out of the hands of that evil, and sets us into his love and grace. And that's a foretaste of what's going to happen in the future when he makes all things right. I mean, Jesus Christ is going to make all things right. There is going to be a new heaven. There is going to be a new earth. And when we are there, we're not going to see sin. We're not going to taste evil. We're not going to be affected by that. Why? Because it's going to be all gone. Jesus is going to make it all right. That's the good news, and that's the hope that we have in the gospel. And that's why it's so vitally important that we connect people to this gospel message so that they can have their lives be a gospel story life in the midst of this darkness and evil that we live in here and now. So, that's the answer to it. Sin exists. And when sin exists in the world, there's going to be evil, and we're going to hear these sorts of stories. But Jesus Christ has paid the price, and he is in the process of rescuing people, and he's going to turn it all to the rights at a point in the future.
Well, through time, I was upset when I heard it, and I was in shock and everything. But through time, I have learned to forgive both he and his wife for doing this. That is the Christian way, right? That is what you're saying, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, and have a blessed day.
Well, you too, Mary Jo. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, indeed.
Let's go to Dominique in Long Island, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Dominique.
Hi. Hi, Pastor. I think this, what I'm asking about, talking about, is going to be referring to some of these calls. You mentioned Ephesians 5:18, not to be drunkards. Well, that comes to mind that being that it was the wine they drank in those days, that both and people become evil when they're drunk, obviously. Both St. John the Baptist and Jesus were killed by alcoholics. Now, I haven't heard preachers condemning alcohol like they should be. And after all, centuries down, we have the repeal of prohibition that's really killed plenty of Americans also.
Well, Dominique, alcohol has certainly and does play a significant role in all of the wild and crazy stuff that happens in this world. Alcohol is a big part of the culture that we live in. It's a big part of every single culture around the world. There are folks that, you know, drink, and it's just not a big thing. But as you know, there's always the danger that somebody comes under the influence, and that's what this verse is talking about. Do not get drunk on wine. Don't come under the influence of that alcohol. Don't be controlled by the alcohol. Why? Because that's going to lead to all kinds of foolishness. That's going to lead to dumb decisions. That's going to lead to all kinds of debauchery. We know that to be true. We don't have to do tests on that. We don't have to run scientific experiments on that. We just know that's true. That's what alcohol leads to. That's what drunkenness leads to. And so Paul is simply saying, and the Word of God is simply saying, is, I've created you to be in relationship with me. This is what God would be saying, that he's created us to be in relationship with him and to be under his control, to let that relationship be the controlling factor in the decisions we make and in the relationships that we have. That's what this verse is all about. So, yes, there's a danger, and I think we Christians should recognize that. We should recognize the weaknesses of our flesh. That's the real problem, is the weaknesses of our flesh. We can't handle it. And so I think we draw some boundaries. We make some decisions based on the wisdom of God and allow that wisdom to control us in day-to-day life. But Dominique, good question.
I think James 4:8 of the Bible explains how we become double-minded with the alcohol. That's Jesus' brother, James 1:8, they claim is Jesus' brother.
Well, Dominique, there's, you know, alcohol isn't the problem. I mean, it is a problem. I'm not going to deny that. It is a problem in the world today, but there's a greater problem. I mean, somebody can be a drunk and then, you know, go through AA and become sober, but if they've never come to Christ, they're still dead spiritually. They're still dead in sin. Yeah. So that's the problem that the gospel addresses. It addresses that spiritual death so that we can go from death to life in Jesus Christ. So that's the big issue. There's lots of folks that have never taken a drink in their life, but they're controlled by all sorts of other things. Maybe workaholics. They may be something else. And all of that is just symptomatic of the deep problem in that spiritual death. So that's what the gospel addresses, this spiritual death that man is in. And when an individual comes to Christ by faith, they're made alive and God's spirit comes to live inside of them. That's the indwelling presence of God through his spirit. And then as we learn to grow in that relationship, we become filled with the spirit or controlled by the love of God. Well, Dominique, we certainly appreciate your call today. Let's quickly go to Miles in Calgary, Alberta. Hi, Miles.
Hi, my brothers in Christ. The last time I talked to you, I was mentioning how I'm a big fan of the great American General Henry Martin Robert of the Corps of Engineers, who back in the late 1800s wrote his famous Rules of Order. Back then, it was about 200 pages. Today, the latest edition is about 700 pages. And what I'm wondering about, you know, is just starting to realize that the law that we have today is just massive, and we should be so lucky if we only had 613 laws to follow.
Yeah, that's right. It's law upon law upon law, and every time a problem arises, we try to correct it legally. We try to write another law to protect against that so that it will never happen again. The problem is that we're not addressing the heart.
Right.
I love in the book of Romans where it says that we obey from the heart. We submit ourselves from the heart to righteousness. That's what this grace of God enables us to do, to submit from the heart. It gets down to the very deepest recesses of where we truly live and changes us from the inside out. And as we grow in the grace of God, we see love flowing out of us, and there's no law there's no law against that. So we can rejoice there. Well, Miles, we appreciate your call today. Good question.
How's it looking financially, my friend?
Well, we still need help. I mean, I think all ministries need help. The gospel needs people that will stand and finance the proclamation of it. And certainly that's the same. It's true for Basic Gospel. We need your help today. A gift of $20, $100, $500 make a big difference in the lives of people all around the world.
Without question. And friends, you can find that prominent link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. And we encourage you to go there and support this ministry as we connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. Basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. And for your gift of any amount, we'll of course include a copy of Bob Christopher's fine book called Love Is. That's for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And we're just about out of time on the month of May and just about out of time for this broadcast. So we're going to be back tomorrow. Hope you'll be there, too. For Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis, God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.